Want You Dead by Peter James. Read by Daniel Wayman. For my wonderful agent and friend Carol Blake. Chapter 1. Wednesday, the 23rd of October. Carl Murphy was a decent and kind man, a family doctor with two small children whom he was bringing up on his own. He worked long hours and did his very best for his growing list of patients. The last 2 years had been tough since his beloved wife Ingrid had died, and there were some aspects of his work he found really hard, particularly having to break news to patients who were terminally ill. But it never occurred to him that he might have made enemies, and certainly not that there might be someone who hated him so much he wanted him dead, and was planning to kill him tonight. Sure, okay, however hard you tried, you couldn't please everyone, and boy, did he see that at work some days. Most of his patients were pleasant, but a few of them tested him and the staff in his medical practice to the limit. But he still tried to treat them all equally. As he stood at the clubhouse bar on this late October evening, showered and changed out of his golfing clothes, politely drinking his second pint of lime and lemonade with his partners in the tournament, and glancing discreetly at his watch, anxious to make his escape, he realised for the first time in a long, long while he was feeling happy and excited. There was a new lady in his life. They hadn't been dating for long, but already he had grown extremely fond of her, to the point that he had thought today out on the golf course that he was falling in love with her. But being a private man, he said nothing of this to his companions. Shortly after 6 p.m, he downed the remains of his drink, anxious about the time, quite unaware that there was a man waiting outside in the blustery darkness. His sister, Stephanie, had picked the kids up from school today and would be staying with them at his home until he arrived with the babysitter. But she had to leave by 6:45 p.m. latest to go to a business dinner with her husband, and Carl could not make her late for that. He thanked his host for the charity golf day, and his fellow teammates in turn congratulated him for playing so well. Then he slipped eagerly away from the 19th-hole drinking session that looked set to go on late into the night. He had something that he wanted to do very much more than get smashed with a bunch of fellow golfers, however pleasant they were. He had a date. A very hot date. And the prospect of seeing her, after 3 days apart, was giving him the kind of butterflies he'd not had since his teens. He hurried across the car park, through the wind and rain, to the far end where he had parked his car, popped open the boot, and slung his golf bag inside it. Then he zipped the small silver trophy he had won into a side pocket of the bag, totally preoccupied with thoughts of the evening ahead. God, what a ray of sunshine she had brought into his life! These past 2 years since Ingrid had died had been hell, and now, finally, he was coming through it. In the long, bleak period since her death, he had not thought that would ever be possible. He didn't notice the motionless figure, all in black, who lay beneath the tartan dog rug on the rear seat, nor did he think it odd that the interior lights failed to come on when he opened the driver's door. It seemed that almost every day another bit of the aging Audi ceased working, or, like the fuel gauge, only functioned intermittently. He had a new A6 on order, and would be taking delivery in a few weeks' time. He settled behind the wheel, pulled on his seatbelt, started the engine, and switched on the headlights. Then he switched the radio from Classic FM to Radio 4 to catch the second half of the news, drove out of the car park, and along the narrow road beside the 18th fairway of Haywards Heath Golf Club. Headlights were coming the other way, and he pulled over to the side to let the car pass. As he was about to accelerate forward, he heard a sudden movement behind him, then something damp and acrid was clamped over his mouth and nose. Chloroform, he recognised from his medical training, in the fleeting instant that he tried to resist before his brain went muzzy and his feet came off the pedals, and his hands lost their grip on the wheel. Chapter 2. Wednesday night, the 23rd of October. He held his binoculars to his eyes in the darkness, focused tight on the woman he loved so much.